Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the Closing Market Report. It's the 19th day of May, 2009. Happy birthday to my father. Marty Gleason is on the golf course and 83 years old today. Thanks much, Dad, for all you've done for me and for the rest of the family. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, the folks from the State Statistician's Office from NASS in Illinois, Iowa, Indiana, Minnesota, and Nebraska will be with us, and we'll get an update on the agricultural energy markets. It all happens during this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. Nearby July wheat, a penny and three quarters lower to settle at 588 and three quarters. That's the harvest month. September at 614 and a half down two, and December soft red at 637 and a quarter down a penny and a quarter in Chicago. July harvest month in Kansas City for the hard red winter wheat, a penny and a quarter lower as well, settled at $6.42 and three quarters of a cent. Back at the corn pit in Chicago, a 4 1/4 cent gain today. 425 and three quarters was the settlement price for the nearby July. September at 435 and a quarter, up 4 1/2 cents. December at 447, the harvest month, gained a nickel. And the March contract at 456 and three quarters, up 4 3/4. July soybean futures today, $11.62, up 15 1/2. The August 11.20, up 19 1/2, and September 10.51, up 14 cents. November beans settled at $9.96, up 9 cents for the harvest month. January at $9.97 1/2, up 7 1/2 cents for the day. July bean meal futures at $3.74 settlement price, up $7.70. August at $3.55.70, up $8.40. July oil, a penny higher at $38.17. The August at $38.33, up 1 cent. June lean hog futures settled $66.25, 52 and a half cents higher. June live cattle at $81.67 1/2, down 85 cents. And the August at $82.62 1/2, down 50 in the live cattle. May feeders at $98.85, down 15 cents. The August futures there settled at $101.37 1/2 per 100 pounds, down 45 cents for the feeder cattle at the CME Group. Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media at the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. June crude oil futures, $59.65, 62 cents higher on the day. June ethanol at $1.71 1/10, up 1 6/10. Natural gas at $3.92 1/10 for its lead option June, 21 8/10 lower. June RBOB gasoline at $1.80 8/10, a nickel higher. June heating oil at $1.48 8/10. This is diesel fuel, 1 2/10 higher. June propane futures at 71 2/10 cents, a penny higher for the day. And gold futures at $926.30, up $5 on the afternoon. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 85.30. That's just about 27 points higher. And the U.S. dollar is trading 81.98, down 0.68 for the day. The CRB index at 241.45 is up 0.29 on the afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like tonight. It says clear skies. Lows will range from 44 in eastern parts of Indiana to 58 in the western part of Illinois. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, mild. Highs will range from 80 in eastern Indiana to 85 in northern Illinois. Oh, sounds so very good. Speaking of that, drying rates will set up across the Midwest this week as we'll see at least another 5 to 6 days of dry weather. Temps will be in the 70s and the 80s through the weekend. No significant rain chances until at least Memorial Day and perhaps even beyond the 8 to 14 out day outlook. Average to above average temps will set up across the Midwest and precip will be below average.
Time.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon, and Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, joins us to take a look at the agricultural futures markets. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Todd.
I called my father this morning to wish him a very happy 83rd birthday. I thought he might be hanging around the planter, but went golfing instead. The boys were loading out some corn. I guess they made sales. What are you hearing from your area?
Well, I think that there's better chance to be golfing today than there is out in the field. A couple of guys I did talk to, one got stuck and one was throwing a lot of mud and quitting. So, but we are hearing of a lot of people planning on tomorrow being a day that they could at least try to get in the field. And by late tomorrow afternoon, maybe a little, the planters might roll over in our area. But, just looking at the markets, they didn't seem to pay near as much attention to that as they did the outside markets on the announcements out of Informa, Todd. The crude oil being up, the dollar being down, and the Dow seeming to hold its recovery seems to be more important than the weather clearing off a little bit.
I was in meetings for a good portion of the morning. What did Informa have to say today?
Well, they decided that they thought that the carryout in beans would be, the government said $130 million right. Last report here, and they thought 77 was a closer number.
Mm. You're kidding.
Well, I sort of thought they were kidding, but it didn't seem the trade did. We're also seeing, as the last commitment of traders report, that there seems to be an increase in fund money flowing into the markets, and that generally tends to be a little bit on the inflationary side or on the positive side towards the commodities, Todd. And we continue to see some fund buying today. And, of course, with that number that Informa come out, we tend to see some real strength over in the bean meal pit, thinking that some of the feed users might be awfully tough to come up with bean meal during the month of last part of July and August.
Yeah, it doesn't look like the trade was entirely convinced that that number was correct, though it was a higher market for the beans today.
Yeah, we didn't hold the total highs by any means, but here we shot up 15.5 to 19.5 cents in the old crop. We were up over 20 through most of the morning. It did add some spunk to that market, of course. And we continue to see a little bit better weather forecast for us to try to get out in the field. We're way behind, but as the reports told us, but like I say, it is going to a lot of this ground is probably going to get worked a little bit wet, and we sure hope it just doesn't dry off and quit raining after that time period when we get it in the ground.
Yeah, what do you think farmers ought to be doing at this time?
Well, as we look at it, we're watching this market go on up. These are the levels that we felt that we wanted to make our next increment of sales at before,
right.
But we're being a little bit hesitant, dragging our feet, I guess. We are looking that maybe a few sales should be pushed forward here if you haven't made many sales so far.
Now, you're talking new crop?
New crop, and of course, basically old crop corn. I'm also thinking that that's above the $4 level also in the cash market, so that's not a bad place to sell some old crop corn. We are hanging on to old crop beans for just a little bit, though.
Are you thinking that the livestock guides need to actually lock in that meal like you suggested some of them were doing?
We've locked some in. We probably haven't locked enough in, and I think that we're going to be looking for maybe an end-of-the-week sell-off if the weather continues to hold. We can see some planting progress in a three-day weekend coming up. We're going to look towards the end of the week of possibly adding some more coverage there.
Thanks much, Wayne.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report each and every Tuesday afternoon.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Kathy Ferguson in Morris at 815-941-3758. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Dave Dickey's here now with the Ag News for the day.
In agricultural news, the U.S. House Energy and Commerce Committee began debating a major climate bill yesterday that aims to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and boost alternative energy. Democrats aim to advance a bill to slow global warming, and Republicans maneuver to kill a central part of the plan they say will hurt the U.S. economy. Chairman Henry Waxman wants to put the bill to a committee vote by Friday. Waxman says that with its mandate to reduce emissions of carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases by 17% by 2020 from the 2005 levels, the bill would shore up the U.S. economy with new high-tech jobs, while also avoiding the ecological disasters some scientists forecast because of global warming. But Representative Joe Barton, the senior Republican on the committee, warned Waxman, quote, "You are about to embark on an episode of putting the entire American economy, which is the world's largest, through an absolute economic ringer." Barton and other Republicans predict U.S. energy costs would skyrocket under the bill and have prepared hundreds of amendments to try to modify the legislation. Meanwhile, the National Corn Growers Association sent a letter outlining what it stated would be negative economic effects on farmers if they cannot get carbon offsets, saying the legislation does not provide a mechanism for farmers to sell carbon credits. Instead, the bill would likely lead to increased input costs without offering farmers any specific opportunities to offset those costs with a carbon market. The Corn Growers Group is disappointed that several items farmers advocated are not in the bill offered by Waxman. Farm groups have been pushing several key principles to help frame a cap-and-trade system that would pay farmers for carbon sequestered in the ground through practices such as no-till production and forestry. Memphis-based analytical firm Informa Economics today has pegged the 2008-2009 U.S. soybean ending stocks at 77 million bushels, below USDA's forecast in May for 130 million. Informa company officials had no comment on the reported release of its estimate. And Russia has banned all meat imports from the Canadian province of Ontario for fears of the H1N1 flu virus. Previously, the province was subject to a softer ban applying only to imports of live pigs and raw pork. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media, public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. You can hear both of them online anytime you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org. You can listen to them on the website or sign up to have them delivered to your computer automatically as a podcast while you're there. Don't forget to sign up for our free weekend newsletter. Hit the right-hand side of the page. You can subscribe, unsubscribe, and manage your own little email there on our website at willag.org. Now up next, from USDA, yesterday afternoon, the report said 62% of the nation's corn crop was planted by the 17th day of May. That's 8 points slower than the previous year and 23 points or more than a week behind the five-year average pace. Planting progress was behind the average in all states except Iowa, Minnesota, Nebraska, and North Carolina. In Illinois and Indiana, the second and fifth largest corn-producing states, progress was further delayed by wet weather late in the week, falling to over 4 weeks and 3 weeks behind normal, respectively. Nationally, 25% of the nation's soybean acreage was planted by the week's end. That's on par with pace from 2008, but 19 points are a week slower than the five-year average. Planting advanced some 33 points in Nebraska, where warm conditions favored field work. Producers shift their attention from corn to soybeans during the week. And finally, the winter wheat crop was at or beyond the heading stage on 56% of the year's acreage, compared with 47% last year and 60% for the five-year average. Heading was complete in Arkansas, slightly ahead of last year's and normal pace, while heading neared completion in California, North Carolina, and Oklahoma. The crop had yet to begin to mature in Idaho, Michigan, Montana, or South Dakota. Crop development in Kansas, the largest winter wheat-producing state, was supported by favorable growing conditions. Nationwide, 48% of the winter wheat crop was rated in good to excellent condition, compared to 46% a week ago and 45% a year ago. Now, here are statisticians from the top five corn-producing states in the nation with updates on crop progress from their areas.
This is Greg Tayson, director from USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending May 17, 2009. Iowa farmers continue to be hampered by rainy, cool weather, although crops already planted made headway in emergence. Warm, dry days are needed to help boost crop condition and allow farmers to finish spring field work. Possible flooding concerns continue for many producers in the southeast districts, where at least 2 inches of rain fell, with some areas receiving over 3 inches. In contrast, little or no precipitation fell across the northwest district. There were 2.8 days suitable for field work during the week, compared to the five-year average of 4 days suitable. Topsoil and subsoil moisture rated 99% adequate to surplus across Iowa, with about one-third of each category rated in the surplus category. Corn planting progressed to 90% complete, 6 days ahead of last year's pace, but equal to the five-year average. 54% of the corn acres have emerged, compared with 16% last year, and normally 50% would have been emerged by this date. Soybean planting advanced to 41% complete ahead of last year, but 11 percentage points behind normal. The northwest and west central areas have over half of their soybean crop planted, but only 5% of the state's soybean crop has emerged. This is Greg Tayson reporting for USDA NAS Iowa Field Office.
This is Brad Schwab reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending May 17th. Another week of devastating storms kept the majority of planters parked once again. Statewide, rainfall accumulations averaged right at 3 inches, which was 2 inches above normal. The West and Central crop reporting districts reported the most rainfall for the week at just over 4 inches. Temperatures averaged 3.6 degrees below normal, and with overcast skies, there was little opportunity for fields to dry out once the rain stopped. Topsoil moisture supplies were reported as 16% adequate and 84% surplus. Corn planting advanced by only 10 percentage points last week and now stands at 20% complete, compared to 73% last year and 92% for the five-year average. Corn emergence was reported at 7%, compared to 31% 1 year ago and 71% for the five-year average. Leading the state in planting progress was the Northwest Crop Reporting District at 36% complete. The soft red winter wheat crop was reported as 61% headed, compared to 41% 1 year ago and 77% for the five-year average. 7% of the crop's heads were reported filled, compared to 2% 1 year ago and 21% for the five-year average. The condition of the crop was rated 6% poor, 36% fair, 49% good, and 9% excellent. And in closing, be safe out there this week, as the weather is predicted to warm up, allowing planting activities to move forward at full steam. This has been Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Becky Summer of the USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service Nebraska Field Office with the crop weather report for the week ending May 17, 2009. Limited precipitation allowed producers to make considerable planting progress. It was another cool, dry week with temperatures averaging 4 degrees below normal. Only small amounts of precipitation were reported for much of the state. Corn planting advanced rapidly once again, a week ahead of last year and 3 days ahead of the average. Almost half the corn has emerged. Soybean planting is about two-thirds complete, 10 days ahead of last year and a week ahead of the average. A quarter of the sorghum has been planted. Oat conditions rated 91% good or excellent. Over two-thirds of the wheat has joined and is near the average. Wheat is starting to head. Conditions are mostly good and excellent and remain above last year. Alfalfa pasture and range conditions were mostly good or excellent and above year-ago levels. This is Becky Summer of the USDA's NAS Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Dan Loftus, Deputy Director for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office with the weekly crop weather report for week ending May 17, 2009. Soybean planting advanced significantly last week as an increasing number of producers completed corn planting. Soybeans planted advanced to 52% complete compared to 28% complete a week ago. Cold, damp weather limited planting progress in northern Minnesota, while few delays were experienced in the central and south. Statewide, 4.8 days were suitable for field work. Light rain and strong winds across central portions of the state reduced available topsoil moisture. Statewide, topsoil moisture supplies rated short were 16%, up from 14% last week. Surplus supplies remained in northern Minnesota, but have declined slightly, now at 16% surplus, down from 18% last week. Planting of barley, canola, spring wheat, sugar beets, and sunflowers remains well behind last year on average as delays continue across northern Minnesota. Corn was 40% emerged, up from 11% last week, while soybeans were 3% emerged. Producers would welcome warmer weather after below normal temperatures and light frost was reported in localized areas. Pastures were in primarily good condition, however, lack of precipitation and cool weather slowed growth in some areas. This is Dan Loftus for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office.
Hello, this is Greg Preston, Director of the USDA NAS Field Office for Indiana, and this is the Crop Weather Report for the week ending May 17th. Farmers made some progress early in the week before significant rains fell across most of the state on Wednesday and Friday. To add to the farmers' concerns, unseasonably cool nighttime temperatures arrived along with the storm front. The persistent rains caused ponding in many fields, and the cool temperatures slowed corn germination and development, which will cause some fields to require replanting. Corn planting progress was still about 16 days behind last year and 21 days behind the average planting pace. The persistent showers halted field work for soybean planting as well, which was about 14 days behind last year and 20 days behind the five-year average. Topsoil moisture was rated as 0% very short, 0% short, 27% adequate, and 73% surplus. Subsoil moisture was rated 0% very short, 1% short, 43% adequate, and 56% surplus. Precipitation ranged from 0.7 to 4.57 inches. Temperatures averaged from a high of 86 to a low of 34 degrees. For the week ending Friday, 1.7 days were rated as suitable for field work. 24% of the intended corn acreage has been planted, behind last year's 67% planted at this time, and also the five-year average of 83%. By area of the state, 43% has been planted in the north, 12% in the central region, and 8% in southern Indiana. 8% of the planted corn acreage has emerged, compared with 33% for last year and 52% for the five-year average. Planting of soybeans for the week also fell further behind the average planting pace, with 6% of the intended soybean acreage planted, compared to 22% for last year and 49% for the five-year average. 39% of the winter wheat acreage is headed, compared to 33% for last year and 51% for the five-year average. Winter wheat condition is rated as 77% good to excellent, compared to 73% last year at this time. This is Greg Preston reporting from the Indiana NAS Field Office.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Time to check in on the agricultural energy markets. Mark Barwinski of Louis-Dreyfus joins us from his office in Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about a couple of things that have been happening. There's an RFS-2 out there, legislation they've been working on in Washington, D.C., and there continue to be bankruptcies in the ethanol industry.
To touch on the bankruptcy real quick, Pacific Ethanol filed for bankruptcy early yesterday, or I think it was late Sunday night. I think that one was a little bit to be expected. They had shut down most of their plants and were only running one in Oregon. So, the reduction in production, there was only a matter of time. We hear more and more about the smaller one plant companies that are having trouble, not necessarily because of ethanol margins, but just lack of liquidity and lack of capital.
Yeah, and it's unusual for them to shut a plant down completely. They usually try to leave them hot so they can be sold, but that's not the case here.
No, I think they don't even have barely enough capital to keep the one plant that they have running. And, just based off of what they've seen with Verison and these other ethanol assets, it looks like this could be a longer drawn-out process than they would hope to get these plants sold.
Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
No, that's about it.
Okay, thanks much, Mike.
All right, thanks, Paul.
Mike Barwinski is with Louis-Dreyfus. We'll try to give him some more time next time we talk with him. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Back in 2 minutes.
It's National Cheese Soufflé Day. It's also Rooster Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1808, Elijah Craig died, a Baptist minister in Kentucky. He was an important figure in the invention of bourbon whiskey. He ran a paper mill and started a distillery in 1789. Legend credits him with being the first to use new charred oak barrels to age corn whiskey, which is a key step in making bourbon. In 1824, Wilhelm Hofmeister was born, a German botanist. He discerned the regular alternation of sexual and asexual generations in plants, which is the basis for the explanation of the life cycle in all known plants. In 1875, Robert Horton was born, an American hydraulic engineer. He is considered the father of modern hydrology. His studies established a basis for the analysis of soil erosion that enabled strategies for soil conservation. In 1935, Alan Burns was born. He was the creator of the character Captain Horatio Magellan Crunch for Quaker Oats Captain Crunch breakfast cereal. And in 2001, Hong Kong ordered more than 1 million chickens and other poultry killed to halt the spread of a bird flu epidemic. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media. It's Tuesday afternoon, and we always talk with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Hi, Don.
Hey there.
The first time in a long time I've talked to you when good weather's on the way. Tell me about it.
Yeah, we actually do have somewhat of a better forecast for the Midwest and the Corn Belt region. We cannot completely take rain out of the forecast. We still have chances. But it doesn't look like the heavier precipitation that's been plaguing us is going to be here. It's going to be favoring more areas to our south and to our west. There's going to be a real wet area in the southeast, Florida, southern Georgia, Mississippi, Alabama. Some of the delta areas are going to see some big moisture. There's also going to be an increase of moisture across Nebraska, Kansas, the plains of Colorado, and maybe up into the Dakotas, and then the southern high plains. That's where the focal point of the heavier precipitation will be. So the trend is going to be a little bit warmer, a little bit drier. However, we are still going to have chances over the next week for some rainfall, but hopefully over time here with the warmer temperatures returning that we'll be able to get some areas dried out a bit.
It looked like chances were pretty small. Are we talking slim chances, 15-20% as opposed to the 60-75-90% chances we've been dealing with?
Yeah, we will see those chances drop a little bit in terms of widespread coverage for showers or thunderstorms. I think that's what we're going to see. The coverage of the rain won't cover as much in terms of square miles as the other patterns that we've seen, but scattered and dispersed among the areas of showers and thunderstorms will be pockets where there will get some rain. But the trend is reversing. Instead of cooler and wetter, warmer and a little bit drier.
Yeah, one little teaching moment here, I think. When we hear forecasts that say there's a 15% chance of rain, that's 15% of the coverage area. Can you tell me about that?
Well, yeah, and that is where it gets a little bit confusing for folks. What that does mean is that in a given forecast area, if you have, let's say, a 15% chance of rain, that means 15% of the area will be covered by rain, the other will not. So when you hear those higher probability of precipitation, that means the coverage area is bigger.
All right, okay. So now we've got a change in the weather pattern, warmer and drier. Is there any time at which we have to get concerned?
Not at the moment, no. I think we are definitely seeing a lot of little subtle changes in the way the jet stream is behaving. Also some changes high in our atmosphere, which indicate that the summer season is beginning to develop. Maybe a little bit slower than some folks wanted to see, but it is getting there, slowly but surely.
Well, the corn will be planted, and it'll be warm enough for it to jump out of the ground here in the United States. We haven't checked in on China for a few days. Maybe you could help us do that, please.
Well, they are looking at least in the short term, a wet period in the central, southern, and eastern areas as a low pressure system moves through. It does look like there will be areas of China, not unlike the U.S., where there's still going to be some wet areas in the eastern and south, but drier in the western and central and southwest growing areas.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Mm-hmm. Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report each and every Tuesday afternoon. Have a great day. I'm Todd Gleason.
agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.